But first up today, civil dialogue. Imagine an America where people discussed issues in reasonable tones and in a reasonable manner. Well, a nonprofit known as the Village Square aims to do just that and turn the corner on the intensely partisan dialogue in Washington, D.C. and in state houses across the country. And now the organization is planning to relocate its national headquarters here to Kansas City. Joining me now to talk about this idea of civility in our national discourse is Alan Katz. He's a former ambassador to Portugal who now is a distinguished professor at UMKC. Alan, nice to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And with him is Liz Joyner. She's executive director of the Village Square. And Liz, welcome to Kansas City.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah. Now, you two go back a ways to Alan's reelection campaign for Tallahassee City Commissioner, of all things. Liz, you ran that race. What did the two of you notice in that race that got you thinking about an organization like the Village Square?
It was interesting to watch Alan with his friends who disagreed with him completely. Local leaders who had different political beliefs on local issues, on national issues. And they had what was so completely different than the public national debate. They had an ongoing, vibrant, real discussion about what was going on. It was, you know, it got kind of dicey sometimes. Every once in a while, they'd be sort of grumpy with each other. But because it was supported by such a solid friendship and relationship, it was real. And we started talking about how we could expand that out because that's the kind of conversation that we should be having in American democracy.
At least one of the issues in Tallahassee back in the day, Alan, that you were involved with was something involving a coal plant, right?
That's correct.
What was that about?
Well, I was a city commissioner, and there was a move for the city, which owned the utility, to participate in the ownership of a coal plant in an adjacent county. And when and I was the only city commissioner to oppose it. It was a two-year fight. We ultimately were able to succeed in keeping it from happening. But along the way, there was a lot of rhetoric in the community, much of it emotion-based, virtually none of it fact-based. And it was out of that, I think, that the idea grew to that we it would have been much better if there were, had been a place in the community to have a real conversation.
And so you approached that coal plant issue how? I mean, what? How did you structure it? How did you approach it so that things remained within the bounds of civility, I guess?
Well, they really didn't remain within the bounds of civility, which was part of the catalyst, I think, for the Village Square. Because what happened was is that there was a very strong effort by the city to convince the people of Tallahassee that it was a good thing. And there was a strong effort by other groups to convince the citizens that it was not a good thing, and ultimately it failed.
Mm-hmm. And Liz, we realized there sort of just wasn't a space where we exercised a civic muscle, where we could go and have that real conversation about what it meant to our community in particular. And so we set about building that space. At the end of our first year of programming at the Village Square, we got the coal plant pro and con people back together, two on each side. We had a program that was real, that talked about America or Tallahassee's energy future. And we advertised the program very respectfully by putting the four of them in a lineup, like the usual suspects. And it said the usual coal suspects. And so part of what we do is try to revive the public square in a way that's interesting and fun and draws people, but that's also real and does something important for civics.
So, Alan, I guess a lot of folks, we're all living through this time of intense partisanship. What's happened to us? Where did America go wrong when it came to civil dialogue and civil discourse?
Well, I think we kind of evolved there. We didn't get there in I always tell people you can't solve this problem in a day, a week, a month, or a year because it took us longer to get that way.
Yeah.
But I think what we have is this, is that all the evidence indicates that we have we sorted ourselves out. In other words, we spend more time around people who we agree with. We go to the same churches. We live in the same neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We have basically found it much easier to be in those kind of environments. And after a while, what happens is two things. Number one, you believe that your opinions are facts because everyone you know agrees with you.
Yeah.
And therefore, people who are not
not
agreeing with you, really, and it's almost something wrong with them because also this kind of homogeneity breeds extremism.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you wind up doing is you get more and more extreme positions, which no one's challenging in your group because you all are basically the same kinds of people.
Yeah.
And therefore, the ability to reach across the aisle and help to work out a compromise is much harder because you've already – You sort of demonize the opposition because it can't be a question that you just disagree on the conclusion of certain facts. It's because they're not only are they wrong, but they're probably wrong for all the wrong reasons, which means they're not really good people. And that builds off itself. And the media, quite frankly, has helped that along if you look at the kind of food fights that pass for political conversation these days.
But Liz, how hopeful are you that the Village Square can actually make a difference here?
Well, it's really interesting. I think that what we thought we were doing is solving a local problem. And we did that. And we could see that we were doing that by having something that's real, that's living and breathing, that's a place where people can go to talk about what's going on in the community. I don't think we really knew at the time that our idea hit so dead on what was required to solve the problem across the country. And really, we've existed for 8 years now. And during that time, nationally, the discussion has just gotten worse and worse and more angry. And as we've sat in Tallahassee, having built something fairly simple, because it really is about people reconnecting with each other. It's about stitching together that diverse social fabric, again, that really is American democracy and has been from the very beginning. We kind of went, oh, we really have something here. And we're very anxious to share it with new communities because it's very doable.
I was going to say, Liz, give us a sense of how it works. I mean, this notion of reconnecting, people reconnecting, how does the Village Square go about doing something? It sounds simple, but I'm sure it's more complicated than that.
It is more complicated because, I mean, so if you have a public event and you invite people to it, you don't really know whether they're going to be liberal or conservative. And by virtue of who shows up, it sort of tilts the conversation, the audience a little bit. And so we are just extremely intentional at every point along the way as we choose our topics, as we name our topics, as we invite our panelists for a topic. We're very focused on how it will go and how it sounds to both sides of the aisle. And also, we're very focused on making sure that the conversation turns out really well. So we have people that we think will get along really well, even though they don't necessarily agree on the issue. And in some ways, every conversation we have is a little bit of a choreography. We think really hard about it to make sure that it'll work.
And so is a meal typically part of this deal?
Yes. And in fact, we feel very strongly about that. We think that breaking bread changes everything.
Huh.
You know, if you can sit down and have a meal with someone and talk to them, all of a sudden they're different. It's way harder to demonize them. You understand more where they're coming from. And so we think that's actually a really important part of the process. Sometimes we have a dinner series that's a sit-down meal. But then we also have pizza nights. We invite people. We have something called Takeout Tuesday where we invite people to bring their favorite takeout and a drink. We have some events that have food trucks outside. We have some events where we serve coffee and desserts, but always food is involved somehow.
And when are you going to start this in Kansas City, Alan? When's this going to start?
Well, our hope is that we're going to have a launch this fall. We've been very fortunate to have some community people who have expressed a real interest in this, and we hope to have some major announcements coming forward either in May or June and then the first program would be sometime in the fall.
Is it still premature to announce some of the folks who are getting involved?
No, I think that we can sort of talk about it. We've been very, very fortunate that we have Mary Block and Peggy Dunn have both agreed to co-chair
this. Two great folks, Alan.
Which are great, wonderful people and very well regarded in the community. I've spoken personally with Congressman Yoder and Congressman Cleaver, and they're both very supportive of the
effort. They come in here regularly and have conversations that just leave you wanting more of that in Washington, D.C.
And a group of other people that we met with yesterday. So this is a growing group, and of course we invite anyone in the community that has an interest in participating in this to let us know, and they can go to the website, which is www.tothevillagesquare.org.
Actually, it's kc.tothevillagesquare.org. kc.tothevillagesquare.org.
Okay. And again, you hope to launch formally with the first programs, the first dinner engagements sometime this fall.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And we've been very fortunate because we've been getting a lot of support from a lot of different places. The University UMKC has been a very big supporter of this there, and we are going to be doing a lot of this work outside of UMKC.
How many cities across the country, Liz, actually are engaged now in Village Square projects?
Well, we have two official Village Squares to date, Tallahassee and St. Petersburg, Florida, through St. Petersburg College. We have two coming – gosh, do I break national news here? We have two coming next fall. One includes Kansas City. The second includes Sacramento.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah. You want to bring the headquarters to Kansas City, Ellen, to Kansas City. Why?
Right. Well, for several reasons. First of all, of course, we're going to have a Village Square here. Secondly, I'm here, and we have great support from the university.
Yeah.
And we're also doing a course at the university, which I think is going to lay a very good predicate for this. We have a course which includes the over the block school, where we're taking the concepts of for-profit entrepreneurship, bringing them into a not-for-profit environment, and using the Village Square as the case study.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that this is unique, and we think the whole notion of social entrepreneurship, which fits within not only Kansas City as being an entrepreneurial city, but the Block School's premier recognition as a top entrepreneurial school in the country, we think this adds a dimension that they haven't had to date.
So the goal here is to get the country talking to one another, people, citizens talking to one another. I mean, you know, as a guy who covers politics for a long time, you know, I'm just struck by the fact that there's so much money at stake in the status quo in so many ways. I mean, there's advertising dollars and big contracts and, you know, so many organizations now built around this notion of intense partisanship, you know, groups that are very much on the far left and on the far right. So how is a little nonprofit like the Village Square, Ellen, going to dent that juggernaut out there that has become national politics in America these days?
Well, I think that's a great question. And let me sort of give you my perception. My perception is that what we're looking for here is a tipping point. There's a tipping point out there because most of Americans, I would say 65 to 70% of Americans, are either center left or center right.
Yes. Yeah.
But the megaphone has been taken by other people. So the question really is how do we bring it back to people where they can agree on the facts and then argue about what they mean, which is sort of the civic dialogue that sort of what this country was founded upon. And I think what you do is this, and the example I always use is in the beginning of 2003, there were seven Democrats running for president. Only one of them was opposed to the war, and that was Howard Dean. Mm-hmm. By November of 2003, after these seven Democrats had been around the country talking to people, all of them were against the war, with the exception of Joe Lieberman. So what we saw was, and it wasn't that these people, I don't believe, each had individual epiphanies. I think what happened was is that they realized in the country that where they were was not where the people of the Democratic Party and the people of the country were.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have the same possibility here by creating not only a Village Square here and one in Sacramento, two in Florida, but three, four, five, six, eight more around the country. And what will happen is this, in my opinion. Once elected officials understand that it is against their interest to continue to behave in the way they behaved, they'll stop behaving that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that way. I mean, once you were elected, you used to feel some sort of requirement to become a statesman and serve all the people that even if they didn't vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just changed. So I don't even think it's that heavy a lift by being an organization that consistently advocates for civil, vibrant discourse. And, you know, good democracy isn't always easy. In fact, it's really difficult. But it's about mixing it up and staying engaged. And it's the charge that our founding fathers made to us. So we've got sort of some good support behind the basic idea.
Yeah.
And once you're out there, you know, asserting it in a community, then it shifts things. You can feel it in the air in Tallahassee. It's mm-hmm. it's that tipping point.
And I think the other thing, too, in Tallahassee, you know, basically you ask people, why do they use negative advertising in politics? And the answer is because it works.
Yeah.
And what's happened in Tallahassee is it doesn't work anymore. So guess what? It's not used.
Oh,
it's very interesting. And the fact is that, you know what, all that whole financial – you talk about the money industry around our politics that is banking on partisanship to continue to feed it, which is a very valid and astute observation. I think the reality, though, is that part of what we need to do is – through the messages through the politicians is to let people know, oh, you can't make money, as much money as you used to be able to make behaving mm-hmm. by generating this kind of activity, because the politicians have felt the wind and they're going to start to move, which means those people in that on the business side of politics, they'll move too, because Washington's always been about money and power.
You know, I tell my students all the time that these issues are more complicated than simple black and white, yes or no, you know, right and wrong and mm-hmm. smart and dumb. There's a lot more to it, folks, than that. And we've gotten – people are rushed. They're in a hurry. They don't have time to sort of sit back and absorb some of the subtleties that are involved in some of these issues, Liz. I see that all the time.
Right. And technology has made it really – I mean, it's easy to get quick information, but it's not always easy to get broad information. I mean, the way that you Google, there's the Google searches will pull up more of what you're searching for and clicking on. Mm-hmm. So you're actually sort of building a bubble around yourself, and you don't really know it.
Yeah. Well, if we get our listeners involved here, what do you make of this idea of the Village Square? Would you embrace the idea here in Kansas City? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. You can also email us to updatedate@kcur.org or tweet us at @kcurupdate. Why don't you just offer us just a little sense of how you would go about having a dialogue in Kansas City, Alan? You know, one of the hot issues these days is KCI, the airport, and this long standing now conversation about do we need to build a new single terminal or do we keep the current three horseshoe airport that a lot of longtime Kansas Cityans really, really like a whole lot. How would you go about sort of structuring a conversation around something that has partisans with very intense feelings on both sides of that issue?
Well, I think what we would try to do is we would sort of use the town hall forum or perhaps as a topic for a dinner for one of our dinners, but probably a town hall forum. And what we would do is we would go and we would try to identify the people who could articulate each side of the issue, who were not basically trying to emotionalize the issue, but basically could factually present each side of the issue. And we would create a situation where we would invite people in the community to come. We would have a moderator who would allow the person to give a short introduction as to why they thought their position was valid.
Right.
We would invite people from the audience to ask questions. We would insist that everyone remain civil. And what we would do is we would take away from the partisans, I think, the exclusive ability to frame the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there's anything that we do, we take away from people who are already on one side of the issue, who would like to have the issue explained or discussed in only one framework. We broaden that across the community. And I think that when you do that, what happens is that it's a much you have a much better chance for a better outcome. There are no guarantees, but the reality is that we would have people talking about, and we would have, may have a series of different discussions about it in different parts of the community because different parts, depending on where you live, you may have different views.
And the problem with something like a town hall now is that there is no there already, and so the people who come up are the ones who have really strong feelings, and they come with their metaphorical pitchforks. They're angry.
Yeah.
And so you're not really there to have a conversation. So by the continuing presence of a Village Square with a set of rules about how we operate and just sort of a strong sense of connection with each other, the other thing we'd do is we'd have food at this program, as I said before.
It just changes
everything. We had a town hall on healthcare right in the middle of all the other town halls, and it was unbelievably full. We had almost more people than we could fit in the room, and it was really civil.
Not in Florida, you're talking
really,
about.
And a really great conversation.
Yeah.
And it's because of how we do business, and it happens very naturally.
Yeah. And we've had them on guns. We've had them on religion and politics, the kinds of issues that across the country usually erupt into these shouting matches, and I think we figured out a way to do it.
Oh, that's great. Again, the question on the table, would you participate in a civil debate if you could, or are you more interested in hanging out with people who share your opinions? Our phone number here again, 816-235-2888, and our email address is updatedate@kcur.org. Now, I was really struck on the Village Square website. You guys write, what passes for political dialogue these days wouldn't be tolerated between five-year-olds at recess. That sums it up pretty well, I think.
I think it does.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think it's gotten any better.
Yeah, okay. Again, our number, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Bill from Kansas City, Missouri. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I was alerted to this call by a friend who knows I'm very interested in all of this, and I'd like to make a comment and maybe get some reaction. Picking up on the point you made, Steve, about the uphill climb against the embedded financial structure.
Yeah.
It seems to me that part of the difficulty in Washington is that the notion of zero-sum competition has been imposed upon this traditional notion of conversation and discernment in terms of democracy, and that part of what we're up against is figuring out how to convince not just individuals around the table, but neighborhoods and business corridors that they can form an opinion that doesn't have to be reckoned in the zero-sum game. And so I just thought I'd offer that and see what your friends here are thinking about it.
Well, I think that I'll go first, and Liz, you just jump in.
Yeah.
I think that essentially what the only way that you're going to break down what's going on in Washington is if it goes on in enough neighborhoods in the United States. And the good news is it doesn't take 50% plus one. We're talking about just a little, and once it begins to happen, what you will see is you will see like other movements you've seen in this country that we thought were never going to happen, and then suddenly they start, and it becomes like trying to stop water going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And our belief is because so many Americans are already occupy that space right now who would prefer what Bill's talking about, I think there's a ready audience. We just need to figure out we need to give them a space to express themselves and a way to galvanize.
I mean, it sounds like what you guys are saying is that America is better than its political discourse these days.
I think it is.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, we say that right now we're operating in sort of a 51% politics sort of situation. So all the elected leader has to do is get just over 50%, and then they go hard right or left, depending on just wherever they want to go. Whereas really the truth is, in terms of the zero-sum game, every solution, whether it leans right or left, is enriched by a broader view of what the problem is. And truthfully, you can find better solutions by incorporating a broader mix of people. And so we go for what we call 68% solutions. So we think that after they're elected, they should say, how do I broaden my support to include more people so that we can actually do something that has meaning and that can continue, that it's not solutions that bounce back and forth from one election to the next.
We're talking about the Village Square and a new concept here aimed at achieving more civil dialogue in our country on politics and other issues as well. Let's go to Leslie from Leawood. Leslie, you're on Up Today. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Great topic, and a wonderful thing, a throwback to the old days in the European salons, and I think it's long overdue, so kudos. I was struck by the thought that buzzwords kill this effort, because we can't agree on what the common words actually mean. So, for example, Steve, to use your example of the KCI,
right.
You say infrastructure and investment, and other people hear taxes, and they don't agree on what those words mean. And I think it's so hard to have, even if you take it out of the hyper-mediated context, how do you get people to understand using the same words that they're actually talking about? Yeah. The same thing.
Leslie, so interesting thoughts. Let me have Alan. Let's go ahead and respond to that.
Actually think that's an incredibly smart observation.
I do too.
And the truth is, we think about it really hard, even when we title our programs. And one of the ways that we do that is we have our board of directors, all of our committees are half one side of the aisle and half the other. And honestly, it takes us having those relationships to understand what just doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times as long as you're trying hard to get there and to have the conversation, then people are pretty forgiving of a little mistake here.
You know, how trusting are folks on the fringes of our spectrum, the far left, the far right, when it comes to the Village Square and sort of embracing the idea and agreeing to even participate, Liz? What have you seen over the years?
It was harder at first, but it's gotten really pretty easy. We have few people say no to our asking them to participate on a panel.
Yeah.
Almost always everyone wants to be involved, and it's because we try really hard. We really mean what we say. We try to be honest brokers of a great conversation.
Stacy from Olathe. Stacy, you're on Up to Date. Our topic, the Village Square. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is a very intriguing notion. My question is this. How much does it cost, for example, if I wanted to participate and go to listen to both sides of the story, how much would it cost for me to get a plate at this? Or is it like it doesn't strike me as a donor thing. Secondarily, if it's free, then how do you see yourself going about advertising it to sort of try to make sure that it's an inclusive sampling of the Kansas City population that's not just a bunch of Johnson County or a bunch of Jackson County or a bunch of just whatever? How do you see yourself going about marketing it to ensure a broad spectrum of people
yeah.
participate? Thanks, and I'll take my answer off
yeah,
here.
Great question, Stacey. Ellen Katz.
In Tallahassee, I'm going to jump in, and then Alan can talk about Kansas City. In Tallahassee, we have about 20 programs a year, and only three of them cost any money. The three that cost money, we have scholarship tickets available, and we make it very accessible to people who that's a problem
so
for.
So your funding comes from where then?
We have a membership model similar to public radio where you become a member of the Village Square, and it supports our programming. And it's really very inexpensive to operate compared to a lot of other efforts that try to do the same thing.
Interesting.
So we work really hard to be very accessible to everyone.
And what we do also is this, is that, you know, first of all, you don't need to be a member of the Village Square to attend an event. So it is open to everyone in the community who wants to come. It's kind of like you don't need to be a member of public radio to listen to public radio. It would be good if you
– I wonder about that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well taken.
Right. And Liz has been very successful in getting grants for special programs from the Knight Foundation and a few other places. We're going to be doing the same thing here, looking for that. We've been fortunate enough initially from the Block Foundation, we received a matching grant here already to help us get things set up. So I think that but basically the important part, I think, is clear. This is for everyone in the community. Anyone who wants to participate in this is welcome. And so the only thing that will constrain is the space.
Okay. Back to some calls. Myra from Kansas City, Missouri. Myra, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I just want to say how impressed I am that you are making this available in our community, because I spent yesterday in Jeff City with some groups that were talking about various issues, and I don't consider myself a political person, but I was absolutely amazed that anything ever gets done out of Jeff City after talking with three or four legislators. And so if there's any way that you, as an organization, can inform those of us that do not consider ourselves politically astute, I am on board 100%. I'm delighted to hear that you're making your product available to us, because I'm in desperate need.
Well, we hope you'll go to the website and sign up today then.
Well, that's definitely on board my task list, because it was very discouraging the amount of information that I would need to make a reasonable decision to even speak with a legislator.
Wow.
So if there's a way that you can inform me from a nonpartisan basis, it opens up some doors that would be terrific.
Right.
So we also have wonderful programming. We also have wonderful programming for between citizens and local leaders. We have an annual town hall forum. We also have something called Speed Date Your Local Leader. Mm-hmm. And it's fabulous. It's lots of fun.
Give us the website again for Kansas City.
It's www.kc.tothevillagesquare.org.
Okay, we're going to put that up on our website today so people can grab it. Yeah, let me grab one more phone call here. Let's go to Carl from Kansas City, Missouri. Carl, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Carl.
I just wanted to say a perfect example of what they're fighting is our Republican senator stands up and tells the country that his number one job is to see to it that Obama don't get reelected. Now, that really is spending our money wisely, paying a guy like that.
Yeah.
And I voted Republican, but I just, you know, I think get rid of him.
All right, Carl, which again goes to this, how deep the partisanship is in this country.
Yeah, and I think that basically what happens is I think Americans in general don't accept this. And the point is we need to find a space to get together so that our officials can figure that out.
That sounds great. Well, I want to thank Alan Katz, a former ambassador to Portugal, who's leading the effort to bring the Village Square to Kansas City. He's a distinguished professor at UMKC. And with him today is Liz Joyner. She's executive director of the Village Square. Again, the website on our website, kcur.org. Thank you both very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck with it. Yeah.
Thanks very much.